State Representative David Bly from District 20B is joining us now.
Yes.
Representative Bly, thank you so much for coming in today.
Well, when I was getting up this morning, it was nice and sunny. Now it's kind of overcast.
Yeah, well.
I hope that's not a foreboding of what the day will be like.
As long as the temperature holds where it's at now and doesn't drop 30 degrees.
Yeah, I know. We've had some really nice days.
You know, the last few weeks we've had you in here, and it's kind of that awkward time where things are going on behind the scenes and everything, and not being part of the majority party this year, not as big a role, I'm sure, as you'd like, but all that's changed. We were talking before we went on the air. Boy, there has been a lot going through the House and a lot of things to talk about today.
Yeah, there are.
Go ahead.
So we had a late night last night, in particular because we took up three bills, two of them kind of put together in one bill, health care and transportation. We have this thing in our Constitution that says a single subject in a bill, but I guess that's one of the things that's gone by the wayside here. But I mentioned to you before we went on the air that there is kind of this cloud hanging over us that we don't really know what's going to end up being a final bill. The governor has said there are a number of provisions in these bills that he doesn't like and it will probably veto. Again, without much communication going on between the governor and the legislature, it's hard to know. And they don't seem terribly interested in talking with him either, the majority. So, the other cloud, I suppose, if there's one hanging over us, is the fact that this is an election year coming up. And both parties are kind of positioning themselves into messages. Some of the bills that come forward are those kinds of things. I mean, you mentioned today, too, the approval of the protesters' penalties, which I think is in part a message bill for Republicans to say, you know, we have to protect these airports and highways and things like that. And on the other side, of course, you have those who say, well, there are First Amendment rights, and adding these penalties to the things that are already illegal and do have penalties may not change the behavior. They may just, you know, make people more frustrated and feeling as though their government doesn't want to listen to them. Recognizing that many protesters are not out there just making trouble, they're trying to get a message across to a government they feel isn't hearing them. So there are two sides to this discussion. And, I sitting there, not running for re-election, I think we would be much better served if both sides listen to each other a little more. I mean, it's not that there isn't a legitimate argument on both sides, but there's less likelihood that we will really be able to hear each other and come to a good solution. I mean, we've had this conversation before about how the two sides don't come together in the middle. They don't meet in the middle and compromise. And it's part of it is just our political state today that there seems to be more advantage in trying to get your message out and make sure that we can excite the electorate on our side rather than their side, which for me, I find discouraging. I understand it. I mean, I understand why it's happening. And again, the two parties do seem very far apart in some of their basic ideas. We saw this the other day talking about the tax bill that we took up. I think it was yesterday. It's sort of a blur to me now. The different philosophies in the parties are there. And although there are good things in the tax bill, it didn't accomplish some things that both the governor and I think Democrats would like to have seen, was to step back from some of the corporate tax cuts that the previous tax bill had in it and especially looking at the federal bill, which is really more in line with helping people who are already very well off, as opposed to helping working people, and so we were kind of hoping there could be a little more balance, doing a little bit more for working people rather than sustaining that kind of helping out businesses. The difference in the philosophy is that Republicans still seem to believe that that good we do for the really wealthy is going to trickle down to the rest of us. Well, it doesn't usually work that way. But
the Republicans, and I talked to one yesterday just by chance, who was liked the tax bill and said, okay, 98% or somebody's going to get a tax cut. you know, who's telling the truth? Who's lying? I mean, 98%, if that's true, that pretty much encompasses the whole middle class.
It does. Except that if you start saying, well, how much of a tax cut is that going to be? You know, if you give a dollar to one person and, you know, $100 to somebody else, that's quite a difference in what that tax cut means for that person.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I see your point now. Yeah.
And of course, we do, on both sides, choose the best argument for our position. You know, so, you know, I'm not saying that they're lying about 98% is getting a tax cut, but where does most of it go?
Sure.
And who gets helped, and who should we be helping as opposed to... you know, at any rate, you
understand. Get it now. But I'm glad you explained that pretty well. Once again, we're talking with State Representative David Bly, the Health and Human Services and the Transportation Bill. You mentioned we're kind of lumped up into one. did that end up getting passed?
Yeah,
that whole thing got passed through.
Whatever the Republicans put up is going to get passed.
Okay,
except perhaps the bonding bill. I mean, that is something where they need you know, supermajority to pass, so they'll need some Democratic votes. But we don't have enough of a large enough minority to get in their way. We can give all kinds of great speeches if we want to, and object, you know, and add amendments. But you know, they're in charge, and we recognize that.
Is there much of that going on, or I would imagine we will see that if there is a bonding bill put forward.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I think Thursday we're supposed to get a spreadsheet of what's going to be in the bonding bill. Again, it's never finalized until the final moment on the 21st when we actually have passed the bills. Hopefully we will have. But Representative Erdahl, who is the chair of the Capital Investment Committee that does the bonding bill, has said that he's going to release that part of it, although the bill itself has not appeared.
It's going to be interesting last few weeks here, as you've mentioned. Well, you're not running for re-election, so, you know, that some of the things that you, I guess, say and do, I mean, you probably have a little more freedom.
Yeah.
And the governor is the same way.
Yeah,
he's not running
for
re-election, too, so that dynamic, that might change everything. You wonder how that's going to work out.
It might, except that not running for re-election too, it frees you in the other way to say, well, you know, I'm going to vote my principles now, or I'm going to make a decision here. It's interesting. I made one last attempt, and I've said this is my last opportunity to see if I can't lift the gag order on the Dan Patch line. You know? And I said, nothing will happen if it gets lifted. Neither, I don't have any proposal for doing a study or anything, but I just think it's wrong for one entity to come in and say, there's something that you've proposed or that you'd like to see happen, and you can't talk about it. And
ever.
This is the point I tried to make to them. And I said, you wouldn't like this if it were done to you. If your constituents brought you something and said, this is something we really want, you'd want to be able to present it and have it debated. Mm-hmm. If it's a bad idea, it should go down. If it's a good idea, it should be looked at. But I couldn't persuade them. So,
now, is that something that is a constitutional issue with the state constitution? It's never really been challenged.
It's never been tested. It? Yeah, okay. No one has really brought a lawsuit to say this is unconstitutional. I mentioned that I believed it was unconstitutional, but you know that didn't persuade them either.
Commerce of corridors, roads. You mentioned that.
It's unfortunate in a number of ways. Politically, you wonder, why did MnDOT release this the day that the transportation bill was on the floor? You know, so of course the chair of the transportation committee just attacked the governor and attacked MnDOT for not doing the right thing and fairly distributing the funds across the state. Now, some would argue, yes, in a sense that all roads lead to Rome idea, you know, that many roads come into the metro area and they affect the outer state, you know, which is probably true. But I get their argument. They'd like to see more funds distributed more evenly. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the final decision or if things will be changed. They're certainly making a lot of noise about it.
So that's all road improvement funding. Is that correct? Or
it has to do with corridors of commerce, which it identifies certain places in the state where we would like to see economic development. And I'm not really sure how MnDOT makes those decisions to you know, allow those funds for in certain areas. Past mayors have talked to me about, well, Northfield would be a great place for this sort of investment, and that, I can't argue with that. But MnDOT makes those designations about where do we want to see these corridors of commerce developed.
Okay. Once again, State Representative David Bly is with us. We're talking about the legislative session, which is continuing on today. Schools. The governor has announced that he would like portions of the government surplus that we're having this year to go directly to schools. Talk about that. What, you know, is it, are there, is he specific with where that funding, as far as the schools goes, where it will go to?
To a degree. I mean, so the education bills that are making their way through the House and Senate are, many would argue, are underfunding the schools. So there will be school districts that see that they'll have to make some cuts. They'll have to trim their budgets. And I think he has made an effort to try to look at schools that would that could benefit from some kind of emergency investment to help them stay afloat so they wouldn't have to suffer from that. And, you know, Governor Dayton has made it clear that education is perhaps the top issue for him. And he's, you know, he's invested in education in the past. He's championed early childhood and also championed higher ed as well, too. But I think he's been frustrated by the fact that he can't make the kind of investments that he'd really like to. And I think he sees this as a way to, you know, make sure that those districts, those school districts that may be struggling after we pass a bill, if there isn't enough funding there, that they get that they can remain whole, you know, that they can still go forward. But so that, I think that's the main reason that he's doing this, and he's recognizing there's a surplus there, and maybe this is the best place to put it. Since we can't, you know, expand early childhood or can't do some other things, why not make sure that we have education, which I'm sure he considers it one of the most important investments that we make as a government, to make sure that that's going fine.
All right. Once again, State Representative David Bly is with us. Any final comments? Any final thoughts?
Well, you know, so May 21st, we have to be done with everything.
Yeah.
The governor has made it clear he doesn't want to call a special session, even if we don't get everything done. You know, we've got to come together and see what we can do for the state of Minnesota here. I hope that we can do some good things.
All right. David, thank you so much for joining us. We certainly believe it. David Bly, State Representative for District 20B.